all be seated this morning. I know you looked a little shell-shocked when you came in. Like, what did they do to this place? Where's my seat? I don't know what's happening here, right? It's been a little bit different this morning. Thanks for coming along. We decided to change things up a little bit. We're focusing on one piece of scripture, Psalm 136. We're reading it, singing it, and meditating on it, letting it kind of soak into our system. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you from Psalm 136, verse 22. You can look on the back, or you can look up here on the screen for all of us. And it says this: He, meaning God, He remembered us in our low estate. His love endures forever and freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Did you get the theme of this psalm? Can you say it with me? His love endures forever. Now, this has been a kind of a rough weekend for some of us. You know, when the holiday weekend comes like this, we remember people in our family that have passed on. It was in 2009, Becky and I were on our way to Ohio for our Thanksgiving celebration with our family, and the nursing home where my mother was living called us on the way and said, whatever your plans are, just try to get here as fast as you can. And we were able to make it there and to spend the next 9 days with her before she passed. And for, you know, you can't get by Thanksgiving without remembering some of that history. And some of you have that history. And some of you remember the people in your life and the impact that they've made. You remember their love and that just never quit on you. They never gave up loving you and caring for you. Well, my mother was a little bit of a character, okay? She had lost my father, you know, in 1994. And so she lived about 15 years on her own. And the last 4 years, she was in this nursing home in assisted living. And I got a call, you know, from the assisted living director there, and he said, there's just a few things I wanted to ask about. Whenever your mother gets her check, you know, from the Social Security and from her pension, and she wants to cash it out, she always asks for about $5 bills, like 25 or 30 $5 bills. And we're wondering, what's going on with this? Because she shouldn't be tipping the staff, you know. This is against the rules at the nursing home. She shouldn't be giving money out to people. And we're wondering what she's doing with this. And he says, maybe there's a little poker game going on here in the nursing home that we don't know about. And so I'm like, okay, I'll speak to her about this, you know. So you know how it's like to kind of talk to your mom about these things. Mom, they've been wondering about all these $5 bills you have in your... And she says, well, here's what I do. She said, all the boys and girls, she called, all the boys and girls who are in our church, who are away at college, what I try to do is every month I write them a little card and I tell them that we're remembering them and I want things to go well for them at college. And she writes also to the people that are in the service, the military services, young kids, 18, 19, 22, 23. She says, and after I write them a little note and I put a little verse from the Bible in there and just tell them that we love them, and then I put a $5 bill in and send it to them. She said, I used to be able to, when I lived in my own place, you know, she's telling me before you moved me into this terrible assisted living, I used to be able to bake cookies and make Rice Krispie treats, and I would send them to them every month. And I would send them its $5 bills. She says, I just don't want them to forget that we love them and that God loves them. You know, some of these young people were in my Sunday school class when I was able to teach. And even the ones that I don't know, I just want them to know that this old 80-year-old woman is still thinking about them and praying for them, because I don't want them to forget God while they're in college. Well, gee, that's a pretty good idea, huh? You know, that's really what Psalm 136 is all about. It's about us remembering what God has done for us. I mean, the first 9 verses, we are reminded about how great God is and how good He is, that we should never forget just by looking at His creation. Every day when we walk outside and we look at this, the beauty around us, when we imagine the size and the scope of the earth and the universe and everything else, and we put all this together, we should be just constantly remembering how good God is and how much His power is directed towards us and the way that He loves us, the world that He's given us to be a part of. And then from verse 9 and 10 on, down through this, he's telling his story about how he's cared for his people. And he tells the story how they got themselves into this enslavement in Egypt and how he brought them out of that. How he, spoke directly into the house of Pharaoh and set them free. And when they were on the edge of the Red Sea and were apparently going to be slaughtered, he intervened and divided the sea and they walked through. And he saved them from their enemies. And then it goes on and says, not only did he do these dramatic things, but that he was with them constantly. He guided them daily through the wilderness. And as he goes through this whole thing, then he comes down to this whole question. What does he do? He says, listen. He says, he remembered us in our low estate, and his love endures forever. So I guess here's the question for you and me today, as we meditate on this psalm. Do you believe that God remembers you? Do you believe that He's thinking about you and that He cares about you? That in your low estate, in a minute we'll try to figure out what that means, that wherever you are, He cares about you, He remembers you, He knows who you are, and that He's looking out for you, and that His love for you will never quit? It's just going to go on and on forever, no matter what happens. Well, that's really the message of this whole psalm. I guess when you think about, what is this, he remembers us in our low estate. I guess there could be two different ways, at least that I can think of. One is that we do get ourselves into trouble, don't we? I don't know what it is. Our friends at AA say it's hungry, angry, lonely, tired. When those things start happening, they happen to all of us, right? It often triggers a bad response. Instead of doing something healthy, we often do something unhealthy. And we turn to things that, instead of setting us free, will make slaves out of us. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And we turn to the wrong things. We get ourselves into trouble. We build bad patterns in our life. And as we begin to, whether it's substances or whatever other things that we get ourselves into, we start lying about it, we start hiding it, we start relying on it, begins to dominate our life in these ways. And the worst days of our life kind of come over top of us. And we threaten our families, we threaten our health, we threaten the other people around us. And we kind of wonder, where is God in all of this? And yet, He's there. He's with us to guide us. He's there to help us if we would just turn to Him. I talked to a friend this week who has had, over these past couple of years, he's had a lot of these triggers go off. He's gotten himself into some things, and he said, I would just shake my fist and say, God, where are you? Why are you letting these things happen to me? He said, but in the midst of all that, he said, finally, I had to realize that God was sending messages to me. He was sending people into my life just to speak to me, people who came alongside me. He even was so nice as to say, Jack, even you came alongside me and you didn't condemn me. You didn't come to put me down. You didn't come to, judge me. But instead you just came and encouraged me and helped me to know that God cared about me. I couldn't feel it, but I knew that there, in the midst of all that, God who sees us in our very worst state loves us. So in our lowest state, when we've kind of hit bottom, what does He do? He remembers us, and His love for us never quits. Some of us here are close to the bottom, right? I mean, we've been bouncing around, and we know, we kind of wonder, does God really care about us? Does He really help us? Does He really remember us? Well, He does. In fact, Psalm 136 tells us that He remembers us in our low estate, and His love for us endures forever. I think the other way to look at it is you might look at this whole thing and say, this low estate, it isn't it for people who are necessarily hitting bottom. It's just people who are kind of ordinary. people who are not high achievers, people who are never going to be the president of the company or, you know, a millionaire or have their face on the newspapers and magazines or be on television. They're just ordinary people. I mean, God loves to use ordinary, regular people. In fact, the Bible is just filled with stories of this. You know, in next week we're going to start our Christmas season. And did you recognize this in my low estate, you know, from Luke chapter 1? Do you remember what Mary says when she sings her song after the angel has visited her? My soul glorifies the Lord, she says. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She says, I'm just an ordinary girl. I'm nobody special. I'm from a little small town. Nobody would even know my name, even recognize me. And yet God has chosen to come and work through me. He's taken me right from where I am, and he's gonna reveal his plan to the world, his plan to save the world, to redeem the world. It's all gonna come through me and through my body. God loves to work with ordinary people. I mean, hero after hero in here are people. I mean, sometimes we used to joke that, God, the Bible was the original story of the A-team, right? Remember the A-team with Hannibal and all the guys with that? You know, the least likely guys. They're doing all these miraculous rescues and working all these things out. Well, guess what? God had his A-team. He took ordinary kind of people that maybe other people had given up on or never would expect anything good out of them. And he says, listen, I'm going to work through you because my love never ends. It never quits. Now, this is football season. So I can tell a football story, right? All right? For a period of time in the 80s, I was the chaplain for the Jets football team. And so I was with them every week. And, it's very intoxicating, you know, all the TV cameras and all the publicity and all these famous people and television and all this stuff. And everybody thinks it's the most important thing in the world. You can kind of get drawn into all of that. But the truth is that the real work's being done kind of way under the surface. All those top big stars you see and the names you know, below them are lots of other people who are doing, well, they're living a very precarious life, living on the edge, because you never know. You can get hurt one week, and if your injury is bad enough, the team will let you go. Your career will be over. Everything you work for in your whole life will be done. Or you could get cut because they find someone faster, bigger, stronger than you. And you never know. Your job's never safe. And you might look at this and say, man, if I could just be a professional athlete, I would have it made. I'm going to tell you, 90% of those people are scared to death most of the time. Scared to death they're going to lose their job in the next 7 days. And so they live a life of what I would call conditional love. You know, as long as you're producing for me, we love you, we'll pay you, we'll take care of you. And when the minute you stop producing or we find somebody who can produce more, you're done. Okay? In the midst of this situation, I'm in there trying to lead a Bible study. I'm thinking, well, God wants me to reach the stars, right? He gets find the top players and get them committed to Christ, and then they'll lead the whole team. But it never worked that way. There was one guy named Kenny Lewis, who you probably would never know. None of you would even know his name. He was a running back. He had made the team because he ran back a kickoff in an exhibition game, and they put him on the team because he was fast, and they thought, well, someday we'll use him with all that. He didn't even play much. But Kenny really loved God. He really knew Jesus in his life, and when we started our Bible study, there were only three guys there, and two of them were sober, okay? Kenny was one of the sober guys, okay? And he was there with the whole thing. He says, I'm here for a purpose. I think God wants to use me. And in the midst of that, he began inviting his friends to come. Well, about 3 weeks into the season, they picked up a guy from another team, and they cut Kenny off the team. His whole dream, you know, he'd worked all the way. He'd been a great star in college and everything else. Now he's done. He says, well, I don't think I'm supposed to leave. He gets a job with UPS in Hempstead. And he's driving a UPS truck for about 3 weeks. We're trying to stay in touch with him. Everybody feels bad, you know, Kenny, we lost his job and everything else. And then a guy on the Jets gets hurt, a running back. So they call Kenny, come on back. He comes back. He's there for a couple weeks. He loses his job again, goes back to UPS, okay? Everybody's saying, Kenny, how are you going to get, how, you know, every, oh, man. But they bring him back, you know, another guy gets hurt. And he comes back, and when he walks into the locker room, everybody says, "Kenny, it's so great to see you." Everybody says, "God brought me back here for a purpose. He wants me to tell you that his love for you is so great. He gave his own son for you. He wants you to come and read his book. Come to the Bible study. Be part of it. Give your life to him. That's the only way you can really find out what real love's all about." I'm telling you, by the time we got to the end of the season, some of the big stars, the big guys, they said, "Pastor, no offense, but this guy Kenny Lewis is a better witness for Jesus than you are, you know." He says, "You just talk it. Kenny really lives it. I mean, he really shows us that God's love is really real in his life." Kenny's he's a principal down in Virginia now at a high school. You know what? He's still using his life. God uses ordinary people, people of low estate. He takes you where you are. You may not have high status or high value in the eyes of everybody else. God loves to work through your life. And where you are, you can give out $5 bills everywhere you go, right? You can let all the people around you know how much God loves them and how much he cares about them. To be his people. He's regarded you in your low estate, because his love endures forever. What does it say here? It says he remembers us. I don't know about you, my memory's getting a little shaky now, right? But I can tell you this morning, God's memory is still perfect. It's still strong. I may forget you. You may forget me. But God will never forget us. So this morning, let's put our trust in him. Let's remember what he's done for us. Let's check our mailboxes, you know, because he's sending us, you know, little letters, little $5 bills. He's sending us Rice Krispie treats all the time. He's putting people in our life to kind of say to us, "I'm here. I love you. Put your trust in me." And let's be about the business of, you know, using our lives to reach out to other people. We're going to wrap up our time here this morning by just remembering. As God has remembered us, so he wants us to remember what he's done for us. If you were here on Thursday night, we took our these little post-it notes, and we wrote on them some of the things that we're thankful for. This morning in your bulletin, you should have some post-it notes, and if you don't have a post-it note, just raise your hand. Our ushers are going to come, and we're going to give you a chance this morning to kind of be involved in this service. I'd like you to, on these post-it notes, just to write something that you're thankful, well, something for which you'd like to be thankful to God for this. "God, I'm thankful that you remembered me in my low estate. You remembered me where I was." Maybe you want to thank him for someone who's come, some Kenny Lewis in your life, somebody who's brought cookies in and given you encouragement, who's helped you with some money, helped you. Somebody, God has used somebody to help you in that way. Maybe you just want to say thank you for them. To know that God hasn't forgotten you, that he cares about you. So I'm going to give you just a couple minutes, just a minute or so to kind of write down some things. It doesn't have to be perfect. And at the end, I'm going to ask us to stand up, and we're going to let you come into the center and kind of go to the side and put your post-it note someplace along the wall there, kind of your way of saying, "God, I'm saying thank you for remembering me. God, I'm thanking you for blessing me." And if you'll just do that, and then we'll just make a one-way traffic come this way, and there'll be one way going back up the aisles and go back in, and we'll proceed with our service. So you write, and I'll pray, okay? I'll close my eyes. You keep writing. God, we just want to take this moment to thank you for the people in our lives, the people that you sent, the people who've cared about us, who've given of what they had. Like my mom sending those $5 bills out. Because she didn't want any of these young people to forget how good you are and how right you are and how true you are. God, we thank you for the people in our life who've pointed us to you, who've been a good example, not just with their words, but with the way that they live. God, we thank you for how you've blessed us, for how you've put things and blessings into our life. You've given us success. You've given us comfort. You've given us help when we've needed it. You've given us encouragement. Your love has never stopped, and it never will stop. We thank you for your son Jesus, who came and laid down his life for us so that we would be free. That even though we struggle and hit bottom, and even though we can't help ourselves, we know that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because you've taken away all of our sins, taken away all of our bad choices, taken away all of the things that we've done that have disappointed and hurt other people. You've forgiven us for these things. So Lord, we say thank you this morning. And we put these post-it notes just as on the wall, just as a testimony of how great you are and how thankful we are. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.